Interesting development here, folks. Seems like one of my wild theories just got a bit of a boost, and on time too. That McLaren's figureheads do have their own personal favourites, but they are professional enough to keep it under wraps, mostly. And if you're a Piastri fan, a fan of my boy, you're going to want to watch this. If you're wondering what I'm trying to get at, it ties into the paddock-wide puzzle as to why Piastri's form has dipped after his Dutch Grand Prix win, while Norris and Verstappen have handily outscored him since then. In fact, if you look back to Canada, thanks to this brilliant new website, F1TeammateQuali.com, hey, I'm not sponsored by it, by the way, it was just a site I thought was really cool and I wish to plug. Over one lap, something which is very important this year, in the year of our Bernie Collins 2025, Norris maximised the front suspension tweak afforded at Montreal, which only he opted to run, whereas Piastri snubbed. After that, the Australians failed to best Norris in qualifying by more than 600ths in the second half of the year, whilst the latter has been capable of the dominance that we saw from the Australian at the start of the year. It seemed like the script had been completely flipped. Maybe it changing the feedback loop of the car in relation to grip rather than simple turning in. As in, if you can maximise grip, that car's gonna be good. It's not all about just being a smooth operator anymore. Well, I mean, that's at least my take on the matter. So it may mean that Piastri's choice just to remain with what he was more familiar with could easily have been the turning point as to why we are where we are in the championship. Perhaps him playing it a little bit too safe instead of just diving in headfirst and trying to adapt on the fly. I mean, fair enough, come on. This is only his third season. He's barely gotten past 50 Grand Prix under his belt, whereas Lando is now proceeding to 150. And he's fighting for a world title. You probably don't want to be making rash decisions in your mind, but maybe the decision not to take that particular part could have eventually become a rash decision over a longer period. In any case, Oscar's not gelling well with the car as well as he had been for the first 10 or so races of the year. Or is he? There is also a little bit of a psychological factor here, because I think you can probably tell. Whenever the McLaren, or at least Norris's McLaren, has hit a purple patch, he comes on song and he feels really in his groove. You can see it right now. The momentum has very much been on the Brit side, and you're really starting to see the cheeky, playful side of him again, especially on his socials. That's Lando's comfort zone, whereas Piastri has been able to look adversity in the eye and at least come up with a plan. I look no further than Melbourne, which was looking like his championship campaign was over before it even began when he went off onto the grass. Did he give up and roll over and die? No, he didn't. He got out, he managed to save at least a couple of points, and we got that spectacular overtake over Hamilton around the infamous back fast chicane. And that might be a really key separator here as to why these two drivers are different. One really triumphs when everything is blowing in the same direction, and the other may thrive when they feel a little bit cornered. And according to team principal Andrea Stella, his insights has come to Piastri's rescue just in the nick of time. Last year, seeing a collapse in Oscar's form over the final flyaway rounds, which we all were thinking, after Austin and Mexico, was going to repeat itself again. Stella believes that he's found something within Oscar Piastri's driving, instead of there being solely a fundamental problem with his car alone. Something of which was really evident around Austin, and was able to be put into practice in time for Mexico after he had a really bad time of it in qualifying. So here are Stella's words for your consideration. It's quite long, but I think it's very important for the purposes of this video. Ahem. After qualifying, we reviewed with Oscar extensively from a data, comment, video point of view. I think we extracted some important information in terms of how the car is going to be driven in these special low-grip conditions that we are facing here in Mexico. To some extent, like we said, similar to Austin. It looks like in this regime, this regulation cycle, you have to drive the car in a way that adapts to the fact that the car slides a lot and can slide and produce lap time. That is not necessarily the way in which Oscar feels naturally that he is producing lap time. So, we identified a few things that we could do with the car and a few things that he could do with the driving. We could see in the race that he was applying this. He definitely had a more competitive pace than yesterday, that being qualifying Q3. And it's a bit of a shame that he was not in the condition to fully use this pace, because we could not find a way to just get him out of traffic. He spent the entire race looking at the gearbox of the car ahead. Yes, I know that was a bit of a mouthful, but you know me, I like to yap about things, and I think there are quite a few truths in what Stella is talking about. And this should give you some sense of hope that this might play into Piastri's favour, especially with four rounds to go and Brazil proving to be a rather curious track for him. as I touched upon in my predictions video yesterday, because there wasn't really much to go upon in terms of data of Piastri at Interlagos. 2023 was a bit of a non-starter, thanks to a freak accident with his rear wing, which let him a lap down. Whereas I think that that sprint last year showed that Piastri had the potential to do really well around the circuit, but team orders got in the way to flip the results. But remember, it is very important to note that Lando, of his own volition against team orders, returned the favour once it became very clear that the championship effort last year was pretty much dead in the water, Brazil proving to be a very major turning point, whereas on the Saturday of the sprint, it looked likely that Norris was maybe in a position, especially with Verstappen ultimately qualifying 17th for the race, that he could easily have it all to play for again, whereas by Sunday evening, it wasn't. Not even close. And I still remember to this day, and I'm sure that Lando remembers this too, him hearing on the radio constantly of Verstappen going from 17th to 10th to 8th to 6th, him chasing Lando, then Lando going off at one of the restarts, and you just think, oh my god, I feel for Lando in that moment. That must have been horrible. But it does really make me think about what could happen with the McLarens and Piastri in the final few races if he has gotten the handle on lower grip tracks, especially around Las Vegas. Zak Brown saying that he believes the MCL 39 and his team will be less susceptible to the trials and tribulations of that particular circuit. But back to Stella's comments. He's saying that McLaren and Oscar regrouped after Mexico qualifying, agreeing on setup tweaks and a new approach for low grip conditions. This looking like a very important diagnosis for a very specific weakness, thanks to a same-week remedy between Austin and Mexico. The punchline being is that Oscar was able to apply this during the Mexico City Grand Prix and his pace did improve. But a shot at going after Verstappen was thwarted thanks to being stuck behind Behrmann and the two Mercedes, and basically dirty air ruining it all. And I don't think this is some kind of fluff piece or Stella just going, oh, there, Oscar, it's fine, don't you worry. No, I do feel like this is something that has some technical merit behind it. And say what you will about what's going on with McLaren, papaya rules, what happens on the pit wall. From the mechanical point of view, McLaren has prided itself for many decades in providing parity with their cars. Ron Dennis stood by that to the hilt, even if he did show favouritism with the drivers themselves. I mean, just look at what happened between Mika Hakkinen and David Coulthard. There was no hiding it. Heck, even DC was able to see it, and he was able to take it on the chin. And for him, that is saying something. But what is the weakness specifically? Well, it's down to the fact that Stella has said that with these types of cars, you have to accept that sliding isn't necessarily a bad thing. In the past, it could easily lose you lap time, whereas instead, you can actually maybe gain lap time in certain places instead of just reverting to smooth and steady. I know the old phrase of smooth and steady wins the race, but in this particular context with these particular cars, it may be something that is winding up to be Piastri's undoing, that he's just simply too cautious and careful with the wheel. And no, I'm not talking about the kind of sliding we saw from Oscar and Charles around Baku last year. This is something that Andrea thinks comes more naturally for Lando and less so for Oscar. If you're too smooth in your input sometimes, you can bleed tenths at many corners when grip is really low. It's similar to what Jenson Button experienced in 2009. Once Brawn's advantage disappeared as others caught up, his smooth style arguably became a bit of a bottleneck that Vettel and Barrichello exploited, early season work saving him. And Autosport lays this out clearly and reports Stella's view that the car is fine and the gap is about technique in those conditions. And that is something that Oscar has called out for especially, parity with the cars. As long as the two cars are fundamentally accurate and they are afforded the same upgrades and they can choose whether or not to actually use them, then the Australian is happy. That's fair dinkum. And with this extra help that was afforded to him, Oscar was able to change the way he went racing in a little under 24 hours. And sure, it wasn't the result that many Piastri fans hoped. He still lost the championship lead. But when you stop to think about it, had he done nothing, accepted his fate, and went as low as P11, he could have wound up being double figures behind Lando Norris instead of just being one figure. And this adding tools to Oscar's already gaining toolbox, as Stella put it, that he is simply affording Oscar more options when it comes to racing, that when the chips are down and you have to get a bit more slidey-slidey, just roll with it, go with it, instead of resisting it, and maybe leaving some tenths of a second on the table, which Norris is more than happy to chomp down on. And the Italian going on to praise Oscar for being able to actually go with this, accept it, and then prove it on the race day. And when the title fight gets tight, the rate of learning could matter as much as raw speed. And it also circles back to Norris's own quote, stating that these days, the only thing he truly has over his teammate is his relative wealth and experience, which is perfectly valid. It's a mathematical truth. And in time, Piastri will be gaining his own wealth of experience, and the gap between he and Lando in that regard will begin to dissipate. That Norris may have reached the top of his ceiling, whereas Piastri has not quite reached that yet, and I will explain later in the video that with him unlocking this potential quirk, thanks to Stella, this might have unleashed a different Piastri. Is this good for his championship hopes? Well, of course it does. It may mean that he no longer is just trying to tread water in these final few flyaway races, that maybe he has an answer as to why he fell off last year, like how he had an answer in 2024 to as to why in 2023 he was so poor in comparison to Norris regarding tyre management. He fixed that, and now he might be able to fix this by maybe being a little bit more aggressive with the steering wheel if he has to, instead of just being resistant. Because what we got from it was not Oscar Piastri being stuck in traffic and then shrugging his shoulders and having to deal with it. We saw some good damage limitation, and we saw some good entertainment. A 1-point difference? That's doable, that's flippable. And it does mean that Lando very much has to think of his championship lead now he is the one being hunted down. But I can easily imagine that if you're an Oscar fan, what happened around the Italian Grand Prix is stinging that little bit more. Those 3 points made all the difference as to who's leading the championship. And as for future races, Stella believes that there is no baked-in advantage for either driver, that it's basically all to play for, that there is no real guarantee that one driver is definitely going to dominate. Although I do certainly believe that Oscar has a really good handy time of it around Qatar. Whereas I believe that Abu Dhabi could be Norris's to have. Vegas and Brazil, yeah, the jury's out on that one. And with Stella believing that the team has become better at extracting the car's performance consistently. Very handy considering that they've not been upgrading that car for a while now, and Red Bull has been doing everything but hurling the kitchen sink in their direction with the RB21. That maybe sets a fair arena where adaptability can pay off quickly if Oscar's Mexico lesson generalizes. It gives Oscar the opportunity to be able to push back against Lando's momentum once again, and especially being able to correct from the mistake of Oscar's Dan Dare maneuver around the Austin sprint, which then meant that Lando's repercussions would have been really a handy shot in the arm for Piastri, was completely wiped out. But maybe that adversity was for the best, because it might have actually changed something within Piastri's driving style. That, hey, he actually unlocked something. Cool. Let's run with it. So, you know, this might actually then lead to the old saying of everything happens for a reason. Lando finds something one race, Oscar then finds something in another. And yes, I can understand why you might be arguing that, oh, these are quite small potatoes, and in comparison, Max Verstappen has been finding giant whopping spuds. And, you just gotta have a look at what Max has been able to do, and just think, wow, man, that's totally tubular. You get it? Because potatoes, they can easily be called tubers because of their shape and the way they source nutrients, and... yeah? Okay, that's a little bit of plant humor. Okay, Law, come on. We know that Piastri's your boy, and it sounds like you're sucking up the dregs in that cup of coconut of yours. Yeah, I can probably understand why you're thinking that. And I can also get why you might suppose the idea that this is all part of the damage control McLaren has been undertaking to showcase more of Piastri in recent times on their socials, despite McLaren claiming to shut out the external noise regarding its wheelings and dealings. Well, I don't think the social media department has been able to shut out the external noise. I think the management, though, are going, la 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 la, we're doing things our way, yeah! Because needless to say, there's been a whole lot more Oscar content than I've remembered in previous times. They're very much going, Oscar, buddy! But what will make me really convinced that McLaren believe in Piastri is if he's added to Sonic Crossworld's DLC, because he's had some footage with Sanic. Come on, we need to see that. Right. I want to bring this back to the theory I've had for a while that Stella made with regarding his Piastri to Schumacher Alonso line last year, and that not being a case of celebrity name-dropping. Andrea, he's perfectly qualified to suppose that, because he's worked closely with both of those legends at the Scuderia, and read closely with Norris and Piastri, because Stella has made comments about Lando being compared to those two legends. He, Stella, values three key things. First, the ability to be able to judge oneself when being handed data, essentially being able to take constructive criticism well. B, an ability to be able to show continuous improvement instead of just simply stalling out and then just accepting your fate. And III, the ability to improve and maintain team culture. As in, don't just rock the boat or think that your ego is bigger than the team. which explains why Stella did well at Ferrari, because no driver is bigger than Ferrari. And I think you can safely argue that off the track, Piastri has actually been towing the line with McLaren more than Norris has, as in, Piastri has created less headaches in the media pen than Norris has been able to do, because you've got to remember, to that whole repercussions line afterwards, people were just going, "What did you just say?" Whereas with Oscar, I can see this in the metrics. After he said that everything was a clean slate, that generated far less electricity in their headlines, and far less views. I'm not ashamed to admit that. That being a statistical truth. Even if the on-track stuff that Oscar said over the radio is a little bit more open to interpretation, you know, heat of the moment stuff. But in the original comments, Stella linked Oscar to Schumacher in terms of the person behind the driver, the capacity to build unity in the garage. The natural speed is there, but the centre of gravity in that praise is method and mindset. And a quality of Schumacher, which is not quite talked about as much, of course, as his skill, is the ability to translate technical feedback into emotional motivation. As in, he can muck in with the people within the garage and then translate all of the stuff he's been able to say into actual results and absolute jubilation. Or hey, at least team harmony and just trying to keep things simple. Stella saw that for himself with his own two eyes. And if he's able to see that with his own two eyes regarding Piastri, then who's to say that in the fullness of time, we might see Piastri emulating his own Schumacher moment, if it hasn't already happened already, what with what happened in Jeddah or at Baku last year with Leclerc. And the last time a team principal over at Ferrari was able to do that and be able to work with a person like Schumacher, they went on a run of domination and full-on performance that lasted nigh on a decade. Now put that beside how Stella talked about Norris after 2023 being his breakout year, garnering the most podiums in a year for him at the time. Stella saying that Lando's natural speed can compete with Schumacher and Alonso, then framing the next step as making racecraft and adaptability bigger because you rarely get a perfect car. This is sort of similar to what Stella said about Piastri, but the emphasis is that little bit different. There is a little bit of nuance here, folks. With Norris, the comparison to those two legends is about raw pace and sensory skills, whereas with Oscar, it's all about analytical discipline, as in looking at the data, just going, okay, and then just going out and doing it. As well, of course, the growth curve, because the growth curve in these 50, 60 races we've seen from Piastri has been nothing short of remarkable, as well as the fact that, well, Oscar seems to click well with the McLaren culture. Meaning what exactly? Well, it means that Stella is not afraid to use the Schumacher-Alonso badge on both drivers, but for very different reasons. And considering the capacity of Stella's job being a technical one, the team principal and all, maybe it could be, and this is a spanner of speculation here coming out, maybe increasing the aperture, is that the qualities he sees in Piastri's are something he maybe values more. Because you all look to all of the subtle things that we've seen from McLaren in terms of the optics, that Stella seems to rate Piastri more, whereas Brown rates Zach more, given their connections in the past, be it business or racing or motorsport-wise or management. Yeah, this is just swings and roundabouts. I believe those two have their own favourites, but they're able to keep a lid on it in terms of overt statements, that they can see good qualities in each other's drivers. Stella's validating that Lando's ceiling is quite high, and then challenged him back then to widen his toolset. Timely, given what he's been through since with Verstappen and Piastri and all. And for Piastri, he's validating Oscar's process and then implies that this process is why his ceiling will be met, instead of him having met it already, and then will mean that he falls short for the rest of his career. And I think the fact that this year, off track, Piastri has been a little bit more successful in not stirring the pot as much in terms with the media, as in, he's not really given them much to chew over, other than the results themselves, whereas Norris has been quite quick to either look dejected, or sad, or a little bit too perky, or a little bit too abrasive with his comments, or just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. I think many people remember when Lewis Hamilton was trying to congratulate Norris, then Norris came out with a barb, Lewis was like, "Whoa, man, I was just trying to compliment you." You just feel like, Lando, why did you have to say that? Like, why did you have to say that after Austin, wishing that the circuit was easier, and then Verstappen just look at you like, what? It's a very discreet notion, but it's not one that Stella has shied away from, and it's something that he actually repeated this year after Baku regarding Piastri's horrible race, arguably, no, definitely, his worst weekend in his Formula One career. And ironically, it being the site where he had one of his best weekends of his career as well the year before. Stella arguing that even the best can have error-strewn races, and that the point is how fast you can learn from it. That it's the same learning rate lens he used in Oscar's rookie year, now applied under real pressure, what with the title fight. What I'm trying to get at here is that Stella still believes that the difference between Oscar and Lando is that Oscar is able to improve quite quickly instead of just having sporadic moments of brilliance, because we have seen moments from Lando as well where he can be truly on it and then completely fall apart. And if you're wishing to hunt for who's actually Stella's technical favourite, just keep an eye on how he debriefs to the media going forward. As to which driver he talks about more regarding setup and how they go racing and whatnot, it's going to be very, very small, but it will be there. They are very good at keeping it under wraps, but it will end up leaking to the world, I think. And overall, I think this is a really good turn of events for Piastri's campaign, that maybe we won't see the dip that he had last year. It's not nearly as disastrous. Yeah, of course, Austin and Mexico were not happy hunting grounds for Piastri, but at least he didn't crash out in Q1 like he did in both those occasions. He made it to the final rounds. He actually was able to finish in the top five on both occasions. It's not as bad. It's just the problem for Oscar is that Lando has been that good. And that is really handy too, because the old adage of you're only as good as your last race is really ringing true around here. Much like with Lando earlier in the year, many people are looking to Oscar Piastri and thinking, wow, maybe he's not that good after all. Maybe he is actually sort of a bit of a fraud in disguise. You know, Lando might be the hot favourite after all. And this culminating in Jacques Villeneuve's take regarding that, oh, you know what? Oh, Oscar was only good because Lando wasn't that good at the beginning of the year, so he didn't really have a representative benchmark. I usually rate Jack's takes because they are quite spicy and thought-provoking, but I will admit that was a bitter pill to swallow, but I sort of get it. Lando was not feeling it at the start of the year, clicking, as he actually called it, but now that he is, perhaps Oscar was a little bit too horizontal during his domination period between Jeddah and Canada, and now that the chips are down, Piastri hasn't been able to kick on as much as people hoped, some even thinking that he's been too complacent. But what I think Mexico did show, and Stella has been able to tell the world, is that Oscar can bring something to the table when the chips are down. Because after qualifying, when I saw that, even though I was on a boat, I wanted to toss myself off that boat, because I was like, oh no, oh no, 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 no. And then turn one, I was like, oh no! I really rate what Lando's been able to say, and I don't think Stella is dunking on Lando whatsoever. He rates both drivers. McLaren are really proud to have these kinds of drivers, and I really think they are part of the elite, both of them. But I think the way they've both been treated and managed by McLaren is nothing short of corporate manipulation. I feel like it's been too artificial, too heavy-handed. We've not really seen the true nature of both drivers, except for sporadic moments. We think, oh, is that there? Like, it's been a while since we've seen Lando's cheeky side. We're now starting to see it again, and that's something that people have been wondering about. With Oscar, the calm nature that we came to expect, many people calling the Ice Boy, even though I think he's more of a Mika Hakkinen facsimile than a Kimi Raikkonen one, I'm just feeling like we're getting their characters and personalities lost at key moments. And I think because of what happened around Mexico City, Stella's theories regarding Schumacher and Alonso, at least in Piastri's capacity, still hold water. It meant that maybe Oscar hasn't reached his ceiling yet after all, that he is not rigid in terms of his style and he can adapt, that you can say to him, hey mate, how about you drive like this time? And Oscar can just go, yeah, all right. What I'm trying to get at is that last time out, Oscar has proven that he can actually learn and that we have to be reminded as to how inexperienced he is in comparison to Lando. Lando, oh, he's very much on it. And I also have to remind you, I predicted he would win this championship. You can go back to that video for the receipt. I can honestly assure you. But what Piastri has proven is that he has eclipsed my prediction that he would have been fifth in the championship. Just already, he can be proud of what he's been able to do this year. But now, I feel like maybe the final few races might not nearly be as dire as it was last time out. I quite frankly just don't want him to spin out around Abu Dhabi, because I can imagine that many papaya trousers turned brown after that, because Ferrari hurled everything at them at that race with a double podium. Lando had to pick up the pieces in that regard. But who picks up the pieces now between Piastri, Norris and Verstappen? It's a little bit open-ended. And quite frankly, as a Formula One fan, I am giddy. And this was proof positive that we saw a driver in Oscar that he could solve things at the track and not just attack them blindly, thinking that, oh, well, it worked last time, I can do that again, and not listening to criticism. He listened, and he improved. That is how championships can be won. And I have proof positive that you will like this video over here, and I will be able to provide you said proof if you click on it. I'll see you over there.